puedes hacerme un sándwich? That means, can you make me a sandwich in Spanish?
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, June 30th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? Got the Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey, yo. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Finally, making the magic happen here on a Wednesday. It's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. And if you haven't already, come on, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. We're actually hitting the beach later today. Earlier start than normal. We're going to try and shoot for 2 p.m. Eastern live here on YouTube if you want to come join us on the beach while we read your questions. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Immaculate items always available. All right, we got some Is This News later in the show, but right into the game. What a wild night down at the Fortress. JD was there. He's got his Alex. JD, where are you going? We're starting with you, man. Come on, man. We wanted to get your take on the game last night. Forget all these other guys. Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, it was awesome. Like, incredible. Incredible game. I mean, it was a blowout. And then I felt like the wind got knocked out of us when Giannis went down. And also, it was obviously the score was a blowout, but it didn't feel like it in the first half, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it felt like they were any mistake made was could have been catastrophic for the Hawks. But, man, I'm never buying a seat again. I love it. Yeah, I love it. My favorite venue to go see concerts back in the day was a Masonic Temple in Toronto there. And I would always do exactly what we did last night. Just hang out by the bar, just stand at the back, and just be cool. So it was perfect. It was perfect.
I will say that
some of those people around us were smelling a little ripe by the end. I don't know if it was nerves or what, but I was like, whew. It's getting a little stinky around here, but it was great. I had a great time. Loved it.
Yeah. Well, be honest, Trey. You were down there as well. Were you thinking twice about buying that ticket after you saw the Trae Young news that he was not going to be playing in Game 4? And did you go, what have I done here? Take us through your thoughts on heading down there in the game.
I'm glad they released the news an hour before the start. I'll say that. I was still excited to be heading down to the Fortress to see the No Dunks Bros. We had a great time for Game 3. New Game 4 was at least going to be fun. But heading down, I was more excited like, hey, this could easily be the last Hawks game here in Atlanta this season. Yeah. I'm glad I'm going to be in the arena. But as the game turned out, we going to Game 6, baby! At the absolute very least. But yeah, it was a fun night for the No Dunks guys down at the Fortress. Biggest takeaway for me,
we got ourselves a series.
Sure do. Sure do.
Crazy game.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the Giannis injury, obviously, you're right, JD. It's like, the Hawks were rolling. That was the other thing. Like, they were up 10, I believe, when Giannis did get injured. And Giannis had started to figure some things out there in the second half after really struggling in the first half. So it was tight, and this could have been a really close game. But he goes down, and, man, I thought he just got, like, a knee to the nuts at first. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought happened, being in the arena. I'm like, okay, wow, he probably took a Capella knee or something to the groin there. He's down there and he's holding onto the Hibberts. And then he's like, whoa, 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 he is still down there. And then, of course, the murmuring starts going around, people checking their phones. Like, oh, suddenly, like, a guy's, like, passing his phone to us to show us the replay of his knee hyperextending. But, yeah, that was huge. And, of course, changes the game, and then he leaves. And who knows what goes on with the rest of the series. With Trae Young in Game 5, we don't know. And then now Giannis, Tass. But what did you think watching from home? It looked gross, the hyperextended knee, but I guess him walking off is a good sign. At the very least, he's not, you know, taken out on a wheelchair. What do you think, Tass?
Well, yeah, I think the fact that Giannis did come back to the bench I guess, kind of showed that he was ready to come back into the game because of how tough he is. But maybe the Hawks blowing out the Bucks kind of saved the Bucks, and Giannis right. didn't even sniff the floor, wasn't even thinking about coming back. Because, yeah, when he left, it was a 10-point game, but it ballooned to 25 after three. And, yeah, when he hobbled back, you know, everybody in the building wondering, could he be actually coming back into the game when his knee bent the absolute wrong way? It looked like a C when you slow it down. It was just a very, very, very large uppercase C. And it's terrible. I mean, just postpone game five until both Trae Young and Giannis are healthy. What are we doing? We could postpone the season for months like we did last year. It's strange to prognosticate. But yeah, it definitely took the wind out of everything. The fans, I'm sure you guys as well, were, you know, respectful of Giannis. There wasn't any dumb cheering going on when he hit the floor. But he's nails. I mean, the fact that he walked off and then came all the way back. I know we throw around tough, we throw around the words warrior, but this is a guy who does not want to sit out ever. And so we're all just waiting for this news. But yeah, I think it is good that he wasn't just in the locker room. If it's a major injury, then he's back in the locker room and he doesn't come out at all.
Right, right. And we'll wait to see what the MRI results are. But let's talk the Hawks here a little bit here, Lee, because, again, they had the lead when Giannis goes out. I mean, who knows? Maybe they run off another 15-point run there if Giannis is still playing. But Lou Williams gets his first playoff start ever. Sweet Lou.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Isn't that crazy? You know, he's played in, like, over 85 playoff games. First start ever. 21 points, 7-9 shooting, 8 assists, only had one turnover. This is like the second time now in the postseason I thought he's sort of been instrumental in the Hawks pulling off a huge win. Not only this one last night, but there was that one in Philly where he helped the comeback. And then you just had everybody contributing for Atlanta. I mean, you sort of go up and down the roster with Cam Reddish. We can get to him and the awesome defense he played on Middleton. Herter was good. You know, Bogdanovich finally hitting threes. The big guys, Capella and Collins, doing their part. This was a team win. The other guys, as Collins like called themselves, though, after the Trae injury news, and he had an article in the Players Tribune. It was just a dominant team performance. Again, the injuries suck, but that's a hell of a win.
It is, and all those guys played a huge role. And I think Cam Reddish is probably the most surprising simply because he's basically hardly played. He played a couple of minutes there in the blowout of Game 2. Didn't really play. I don't think he played at all in Game 3. And came off the bench and really gave some good energy defensively, I thought, getting into Chris Middleton, just making life difficult for him. It was sort of the guy who's been missing basketball so much. He's got so much energy. He's so fresh that he was out there really trying to do everything he could. And he knew on the offensive end he was going to have to shoot because there were so many more shots to go around. But it all started, I think, with Lou and Bogdanovich. I think you can sort of split it down the middle of those two, because Bogey has been pretty bad. He's been dealing with some sort of a knee injury, but he's been on the court. So, you know, you expect him and you need him to get going. And I think he hit the first three-pointer of the game, and he finished with six, and he just looked finally like that guy that they were hoping to have when they signed him to the big contract in the offseason. So it was almost like the Bucks were like, okay, no Trae, well, we don't need to come out urgently. And the Hawks the other way were like, let's just see if we can punch him in the mouth, maybe build up a lead and see what can happen, because anything can go crazy in these playoffs. And they sort of were. They just, the Bucks made a couple of pushes there, but they didn't seem to have that desperation, that killer instinct in them that was like, guys, if we win tonight, we're going home with a chance to end this series, get to the finals, and then get some rest in before the final start. That just didn't seem, you know, I criticized Budenholzer after game two of that Brooklyn series for not being prepared. They didn't seem that prepared last night, I don't think. They seemed to sort of think maybe, well, Trae's out, this is going to be a bit of an easy run. But it wasn't that at all. The Hawks got those baskets early. The defensive energy was incredible, I thought. Mm-hmm. And the Giannis injury overshadows this because it was a devastating blow for fans of the league. You know, no one wants to see that, but you have to give the Hawks the credit that they were leading and they were playing much better than Milwaukee was up until that point. Anyway, Giannis actually just went on a bit of a tear where it felt like, okay,
yeah, 8 points in 5 minutes to start the half.
And it felt like, okay, we got to sort of pick this up a little bit. So that was a real blow there for the Bucks. But the Hawks deserved this victory based on what we had up to that point. And yeah, they got contributions from everyone. And I just want to know, in that standing room section, because in game three, we had all the celebrations. We had the Gallinari for the three. The Kevin Huerta kisses were coming out for Kyle Korver. Obviously, no Trae Young to do the too small, no matter what he scored on, if it was a three or in the lane. Were they all there, Trey? I know you and me were really into the Gallinari ones. He had a couple of big ones last night.
Yep. Definitely had some Gallinaris. Definitely blew some three kisses. More so for Bogdanovich last night. But my go-to being in standing room only, the ceiling above us is maybe 7.5 feet high. Yeah. Very easy to reach. So I'm up there. I'm slapping the roof every single time the Hawks are doing something because I want to be able to go back there. And, you know, 10 years, find out whatever section we were standing in and see all the dents that my wedding ring put into the roof and be like, that was from me during the 2021 Eastern Conference Finals. But, yeah, I mean, I thought everybody played pretty well for the Hawks last night. You know, Cam Reddish came back after playing basically 15 minutes over the course of months and months. And was locked down and just had all that energy. And I thought there was a huge run from the Hawks bench, kind of, there in the second quarter. It was only a 12-4 run, but it was Reddish guarding Middleton and Onyeka Okongwu guarding Giannis.
Yeah.
And it felt like the Bucks were never going to be able to score on them. And I thought that was super impressive to hold the Bucks to 38 points in the first half. Like you're saying, Lee, they came out a little bit stronger there in the third quarter. Giannis, 8 points in 5 minutes to kick it off, but once he went down with the injury, credit to the Hawks really seizing the opportunity too. You know, the game stopped to a halt. The fans were cheering as Giannis went off the court, walked off on his own power. That was great to see. Who knows how the game's going to go? Maybe the Bucks are able to bounce back from that and use that as inspiration here in the second half, but the Hawks outscored the Bucks 25-8 from that point on, and that was really the game. And you knew the game was over 100% for sure when Clint Capella made a jump shot over the backboard.
Yeah.
His first shot outside of the lane. Once that went in, you're like, well, it doesn't seem like Giannis is coming back in this game regardless, but there's no way they're bringing him in. Great win for the Hawks. So many guys played well, and that's exactly what you got to do. It definitely started with Lou Williams throwing a perfect game in the first half. I think he went 3-for-3 from 2-point. 1-for-1 from 3 and 3-from-3 from the line.
Yeah.
Couldn't miss, and, you know, the Hawks were ready to play.
Yeah, who gets your game ball, Tass? You're back in the locker room there for the Hawks. Like, if you had to pick one guy, because the guy said it, like, everybody was chipping in. But who would it specifically jumped out to you?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. I mean, it's a team ball, man. It really is. Because they, like, Kevin Huerter, or Kevon, as the guys like to call him, when he's going, he said all five of us scored before the first timeout. They knew that they had to get it going. Amongst all five of those dudes, because Trey was out. So Lou, you know, it's an interesting sub, because it's like nothing really changes with Lou instead of Trey Young.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be shooting from the mid range. It's more of a pull up instead of a floater than Trey Young. He's going to be, you know, firing away threes. It's going to be a little bit more shallow than deep like Trey Young, and he's going to be hit on defense on PJ Tucker. So it wasn't like a drastic change, but the Bucks weren't ready to cover him. Brook Lopez wasn't ready to get out to him in the mid-range. It reminded me of Phoenix's effort in game five against the Clippers. They're just a little sluggish, didn't know what they were doing. And then, that third quarter, definitely scary for the Hawks when you've got Giannis, a six-point first half, and then hits his first four shots to begin the second half. Yeah, this is the Hawks night. You know, I know Giannis sort of deflates everything, but watching all those guys, and Trey mentioned the guys coming off the bench, and Onyeka Okongwu kicking ass as a rookie, Cam Reddish kicking ass as a second-year player who's in his second playoff game. It looks like the Chris Middleton stopper. He looks like the exact prototype of a guy that you would put up against Chris Middleton. He's been injured. This is the exact type of guy or performance that you'd want beside Trey Young, like a Cam Reddish, or even Chris Dunn got some minutes, those types of defensive guys. Now, I think if we see him go into game five, if it's a single possession game, you're going to see his flaws, because he chucks some 3-point shots and they're not pretty. And then those, you know, become a little bit more closely watched. But it's like he is perfect to be playing that kind of defense in your second playoff game, to be getting into a guy. That's what he prides himself on. He was part of the Luka Doncic trade, by the way. That was awesome to see everybody come out and perform. And I don't know if the Bucks come back if Giannis is healthy. It sure would have been a game going down the stretch. I don't think it would have been a blowout the way it was. But the Hawks were obviously ready to play. It's great to see Lou Williams come out like that. Apparently Nate McMillan came to him while he was getting stretched and massaged, and he said to him, "Hey, Lou, you're starting tonight." Lou said, "Okay." And Nate walked away, and he was ready to play. That's basketball, baby. Yeah, man.
It's crazy when you remember that they traded for Lou Williams this year, trading Rondo for Lou, 2 second-round picks, and cash. And, I mean, I know playoff Rondo is a thing, and, I know he's not playing a lot right now in his series, and maybe that is over at this point of his career, but Lou Williams was first off going to retire when he got traded back to the Hawks. He's like, well, I'm probably not going to win a championship now, so maybe I'll just hang it up. And he was talked out of that, so he sticks around. But then try and figure or think about that game last night, Lee, and I know you'll love this, with Rondo starting instead of Lou Williams. And it's just completely different because, like Tass took us through there, of any guy to replace Trae Young, Lou is a pretty good facsimile. Like, he's obviously not even close to Trae Young's level. But what he does out there, things aren't going to change that much. Whereas Rondo, it's completely different. It's wild to wrap your head around,
Yeah, Rondo can't shoot the way Lou can. I mean, Lou's basically won the six-man award because he comes off the bench and he can shoot, he can fill it up, he can get into the paint, he's got the floater, he gets to the free throw line and hits those threes. And last night, Nate McMillan really didn't have any other choice. It was like, you're starting, and you know what? You can shoot if you want, you can get other guys involved, you can do whatever you want. And Lou was ready to go. And if you look back through this series, you know, he's struggled a lot, actually, in this series, coming off the bench. I mean, he'd only scored 13 points in the entire series up until this point last night. And last night he goes 21 points on 7-for-9 shooting. That was all he took as well. 8 assists in there. That was the thing. Like, Lou was just sort of ready for that moment. And even if you go back to the Philadelphia series, there was times where he came off and didn't really give them a whole lot. He did in a couple of games, but there were other games. I mean, he had a nunfa in game 6 there against the Sixers. He came out and played 11 minutes, went 0 for 5.
Did you just call it a nunfa?
A nunfa, yeah, nunfa 5.
I've only ever heard it called an ofer.
What do you call it? Ofer, I suppose, yeah. It's not like the guy's been lighting it up the entire times in the playoffs. He has struggled, and he's also found himself on the bench at times. But, yeah, Nate basically was like, well, what else am I going to do? You know, he needed him, and he went out there and delivered. And that's the thing. I think he just came out, and he was like, well, I get to shoot tonight. I've got the green light. And he did that, and it opened up the floor. But then it does obviously help when Bogdanović can finally hit some shots. Kevin Huerta gets into his little mid-range and gets that going. And even John Collins only had, I think, 4 points last night. But I thought he was active again, you know, making himself useful. So I don't think there was a player on the Hawks that wasn't contributing in the minutes he was on the court there last night. And that's just, a great team victory, given the circumstances that they were virtually facing elimination last night if they lose. So it's going to be really interesting to see now what happens in Game 5 if Trae plays at all, because deep bone bruise doesn't sound good, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, in the playoffs, you're going to do everything you can to get right. The fact that he missed the game tells me that's a pretty serious injury. So we'll find out. But, what a great series this one has. I had a douchebag sweep. I said, book a reservation at the douchebag restaurant.
That's right.
Cancel it.
Cancel it. That's a real douchebag move, actually. Cancel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just not showing up would be more of a douchebag move.
Good point. Good point. You're at least allowing them to, try and get somebody else at that table. But, Lee, what about canceling your flight to where are you headed to? Like, New York here, Sue? You got to be here for game 6, man. The Fortress, like, you were riding a high after game 3 in a game that the Hawks lost because Middleton caught fire. And like I said, you probably should have tried Cam Reddish in that game. But anyway, I mean, I get the buzz that you're feeling, man. I'm on cloud 9 still. That place was rocking last night. It's a part. Atlanta, man, it's a party here all the time. But Jesus, when the Hawks are playing well and you got, like, Big Boy doing a performance during a timeout. It's not even halftime. He's doing a kryptonite. Like, it's just hilarious.
Look, it's probably a blessing in disguise in some ways. I'm only 1-2 down there at the Fortress this season, and the Hawks have been smoked in 2 of the games that I've been there. So maybe maybe it's better that I'm not there in attendance. But look, I've learned some new names of some celebrities too. I heard there was a Moneybag Yo and Ari were down there one game. I'd never even heard of them before, but they were coming out. So, you know, that's the thing you learn when you're down at the Fortress. You learn a little bit more about Atlanta, a little bit more about culture and rap music and things like that. It's just a great, great atmosphere. I would highly recommend everyone else go there. But look, Bogdanovich again. I don't think he even got going against the Knicks when I went down to that game. And so finally, I'm not there. Bogey turns it on because I was going to buy a Bogey t-shirt at one point, but cooled off a bit because he was like, come on, Bogey, you got to give me something. But now maybe he's back. So,
okay.
Oh, man.
Well, Trey went to the team store last night during a timeout, and I think he struck out on sizes. So not a lot left, I don't think.
No, it feels to me like 90% of the jerseys or jersey shirts that were there were John Collins shirts in size small. I don't know why, but that seemed to be the one that was there the most. Right. I guess people are a little nervous to purchase a Collins knowing he's going to be a free agent in the summer. But I don't know. It felt like the timeouts were long yesterday because I went during the second quarter, looked through the whole team store, and made it back before Okongwu was shooting free throws. I couldn't believe it, but who knows?
The real test is ordering that flatbread and seeing if you can how many quarters you missed.
No way. You're even pushing it going to get a beer, let alone a flatbread. No, that's not happening. But those beers, too, man, they're car batteries, those ones they give you. JD was like, got the last round. I'm like, huh, I don't know, man. I could not even get through this thing. It's like the fourth quarter already. These things are gigantic.
I never thought I'd say this, but they're too big.
The beers are too big. I agree.
At least offer a smaller version. Like, this is like a smaller option, right? I mean, there's no... We were drinking Modelo's, and I think that was the smallest can they had. And they were... It was like a pint and a half, right?
Yeah, like, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's bigger than that. Well, I guess it's skinnier but taller, so maybe it is about the same size as a Yeti. It's a lot, though.
It's too much. It's way too much. The good thing about them is, though, it probably lessens the lines because people aren't there as much. And the traffic is a little bit slow at those registers, as we've talked about. Sometimes you get in the line and you miss 6 minutes of freaking game time. But sometimes you party it up in the line. So it's all worth it. It's a nice trade-off there because everything is fun in that arena.
Oh, and the standing room only. Everybody's got to get into the standing room only tickets. We had friends that were there in seats, but they were like, at the end of the game, they're like, well, it basically is just becoming a standing room only ticket itself because if people are standing in front of you, you got to see the game. So you're standing and you're like, that's a good point. In a playoff atmosphere, you should be standing for a good chunk of the game. So, those are $1,000 tickets, whatever, 20 rows ahead of you from where you're standing.
It just allows you to be more emotive during the game as well.
It does.
Ride those
it
highs,
is nice.
Ride those lows. It's like going to a concert. You want to sing with the band, you know. You don't want to sit there and just try to like bob your head. You want to get into it. You want to bump with people. You want to high five random strangers. You want to feel that energy. It's just it's great. Were you guys in the same spot? That sort of
exact
same spot. That's our spot. Yeah. We've carved out that area. But I will say, like, we got there a lot later than I did the first time. The last round when we did the standing room only, the first time, and. That we were like, we were nearly right at the front last time. I was like, I showed up last time. I'm like, oh, God. There are either way more people here in the standing room only tickets area. Like, the word got out. Or I'm just here too late because, I'm like, oh, I got to get this angle. Where am I going?
Yeah.
And then it was the worst. So there was a little spot. There was a woman standing there. And I could tell she was saving it for a friend or a boyfriend, a husband, whatever. So I wasn't going to go right up and take the spot. But I'm like, okay, this might be good because she was pretty small. I'm like, okay, I can see. Sure enough, the guy comes back. He's literally Trey's height.
Yeah.
He's as skinny as I was, but he was Trey's height. JD, we were behind him. He was like, oh, God.
Wearing a Martinez
Atlanta United
jersey. I was looking at Martinez the whole time. But
that guy was tall, though. Then I saw an Alex Len jersey after the game. I couldn't believe I saw one of those in the wild. I was dumbfounded. I was so excited when I saw it. I had to take a photo of that. Got it up on my Twitter account. But what a blast. What a blast. And like I started taking Trey's like sort of – Trey could hit the ceiling because he's so tall. But because I'm holding the giant car battery beer, you only got one – you can't clap. So I started slapping against this column we were against.
Slapping column. Nice.
Oh, man. It's the slapping column, as it's now called. Yeah. What a time. What a
good
time.
Question here from Christian, who asks, do people ever recognize you guys at the game? That's a great question, Christian, because last night in the standing room, the guy standing right in front of us turned around to me and Skeets and said, "Your guys' voices sound so much like a podcast I listen to."
And then turned right back around.
And didn't say another word to us the rest of the night.
And I'm like, to Trey, I'm like, is he doing a bit? Like, that's really funny.
That
like,
was awesome.
Or is he really doesn't realize it's us? Like, that was amazing.
Still unknown. Maybe in the stream team today, let us know if you were there. But I don't know. Either we sound like another podcast he listens to, or it really was us.
At one point, I was standing in the middle of the concourse, just sort of lost, wondering where you guys were. And a guy comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder and goes, "Marcus?" Like, nope. So I guess I sort of got recognized, but as a guy named Marcus.
Let's give it up for Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
That happened to me in the last game, JD. Someone gave me the big whack from behind. I looked around and I was like, "Oh my God, who is this?" And then he sort of had the same reaction to me. He goes, "Oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else." So we're being recognized as sort of someone, but no one at the same time.
Not real, hey, I'll take it. It doesn't happen very often. So, hey, man. Call me Marcus.
I only have like one more note to add with the Hawks. And I saw Ziller write about it. And I thought it was a good point because like we talk a lot about like who's got the best young core in the league. You know, people throw out, you know, the Grizzlies and they throw out a bunch of other teams. And I feel like the Hawks rarely come up in that conversation. But Ziller points out Trae Young, John Collins, if he stays there and they sign him, Hunter, Herter, Reddish, Okongwu. They're all really good. They're playing like big moments in playoff games here and series. And they're all 23 or younger. Like, what a core that the Hawks have here in these guys. I just thought that was a great point from Ghostface Ziller there. It's like, damn, yeah, they don't get brought up all that often when we talk about, like, young teams with young talent. And if, again, they keep Collins, it's pretty damn good moving forward. But anything else to add to this game? Either our experience down at the Fortress or you guys watching at home. And as we move forward, like, I'm not even going to ask you guys to like predict what happens anymore. Cause like, what's the point? It's like, nobody knows. We don't even know who's playing. There's an injury every night. It feels like, or every second night. So like, just enjoy it, I guess. But anything else to add, Tass or Lee, go ahead.
Well, just one question, JD, were you, involved in the countdown of Giannis or the count up, I guess?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was fun. I really had a good time counting to 10 very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It also, you do feel like you've gotten into his head, right? Because he airballed what, twice?
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. And I'm a big Giannis. I love Giannis and I felt bad for him, you know, when we were doing that, but it was very fun. I also tried for the first time ever. I tried chanting defense.
How'd it go?
Not good. It was like when I bought this hat at the merch store there. It was the way I tried it. I just kind of like, no. I don't like chanting it for some reason. It just doesn't feel right to me.
For me.
Like everybody around me. I'm not adding anything to this. My one voice. It's not.
Oh, come on.
Were you only chanting or were you getting the like defense? You know, you've got to.
Yeah, I did a little bit of this and I just felt. Okay. I felt silly. Yeah. This is not me. I'm not a defense guy, I guess.
That's
I
don't not know. You. Yeah. You're just looking cool standing there in the concourse. Like you said.
But, JD, as you said, it definitely feels like you affected Giannis's free throw shooting.
Right.
You can affect their defense too, man.
I don't know. They know they're supposed to play defense, right? I mean, that's kind of the point.
They don't need us to tell them.
Yeah, Giannis knows he's supposed to hit defense. Free throws too. But it's true. Everybody feels like they had a part in Giannis missing free throws. Our friend Rick Kambla tweeted, "You can't tell me the crowd in Atlanta didn't impact those free throw misses by Giannis." And I get it. I'm sitting at home and I'm hearing it. And I was there, you know, in game three. And of course you feel like you changed it. I wasn't counting. I mean, I'm a Giannis supporter. So I was there just taking it all in. But of course you feel that way. And yeah, even the people at home, you got to get on Hawks Twitter, Skeets. I mean, every second comment is like, "We got the best young core in the game, baby."
Well, okay,
I mean,
maybe,
everybody's jumping on this, and I get it. You got to feel good, especially you see Cam Reddish out there.
Yeah, if Cam Reddish is the real deal defensively and to go with Hunter, then you are feeling good. Just back to the chants, a few notes about that. There was a Hawks and Six chant going on last night at one point. There was, I believe, the classic Sha-na-na-na, like the goodbye little sing-along. That one's weird.
Goodbye it too.
We're gonna see it soon. I don't get that one. I hate this one. So, love an airball chant. I mean, who doesn't? Sure. That's fun. But did you notice, Trey and JD, they're speeding up the airball chant. It's not airball, airball. It's, you got to like elongate the airball.
That's the airball.
Yeah, and there were so many people not doing it. I'm like, what's going on here? Have we changed this? Why don't we make this decision? Yeah, it's the long airball.
Back in my day, airball calls were very long. Yeah, the kids do way too fast with their calls. 100% agree, though, Skeets. Yeah. You got to enjoy that airball. It's almost a Daryl, right? I guess maybe that's why. Yeah, it's got to be a Daryl. Also on Twitter last night, people were saying, Skeets, Trey, what shirts did you guys wear? We did take a picture. Here's us showing up at the Hawks game last night.
You know we wore the exact same.
Yeah, we actually did. There's both of us.
There we
and
are.
JD oh, and our buddy Grish. This is a very weird picture of me. I don't know. I don't think you ever see my face from straight on. I don't like it. I don't like my straight on face here. I gotta go sideways from here on out.
Maybe you got a little bit of the Bobby Portis going on there too.
Thank you. Thank you. No one has ever said that about me, so I consider that a compliment.
Yeah.
What a night.
Change the look.
So game six, Tass. What are we? Are we getting these tickets? What are we doing?
Friggin' right. I bet they're, you know, triple the price, but you know, this is go time. This will definitely be the last game of the series in Atlanta, so you gotta do it.
That's a good point. That's
you gotta do it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see who plays. I don't know what carries over from game four to even game five, obviously, because the Bucks are gonna fight back. They're gonna, even if Giannis isn't in there, they're gonna be like the Hawks felt like in this game, right? Especially when you get slapped. You fight back if you're a good team. I think the one good thing is that Bogdanović, I think, will carry on. Because some of these things, you know, so, who knows what happens from game to game. But I think Nate McMillan should get some credit. Because although it seems like Bogdanović was just hot the whole night, he wasn't. He was 2 of 9 in the first half. But Nate stuck with him and kept letting him shoot it. And you know Bogey feels good when he's yelling. Whatever he's yelling after he hits a shot, he's screaming. That means he feels good. So I think he's back. 6 threes. Monstrous. Monstrous stuff. Can't wait for game five.
What's the update on Capella, too?
Got an elbow in the face, right?
Hitting the face,
There's,
I mean, you would assume he'll play, and you know, you either throw a mask on and stuff like
mask
that.
Mask up, buddy. Hey, they got Onyeka Okongwu. That guy's ready for minutes. He can guard. He is very solid, and I agree with you, Tass. It felt a little bit like Bogdanović at least got his jumper back. He finally got a basket inside the three-point line there in the fourth quarter, which it was like, even when he was hitting the threes, you could tell that he didn't want to actually be inside getting touched up. So I thought it was pretty good to see him driving and scoring at the rim.
Mm-hmm. You were there with Grish. The Hawks got off to a good start. So Seb B asked the question. Did Grish say the game was over 2 minutes into the game?
No, he actually did not last night. Even when, like, as we were saying, wow, the Hawks are like, they're putting the clamps down on the Bucks. Bucks were missing shots, too. Felt like they were getting an open corner three look anytime they wanted to, but they were just not dropping last night. But we were like, oh, the Hawks are going to get like a 15-20 point lead here, and then this is going to be a game. Like, they have to build this massive lead without Trey, and then you know it's going to get down to like a one or two possession game. That's what even my buddy Grish was saying. So, no, he didn't say that last night, Seb. I think JD asked him, though,
I did ask him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You were testing him.
I did, yeah. And
he didn't take the bite.
He didn't, but he could have said it's over, and then he would have been right. So
that's what Seth B is saying. Yeah, yeah. Grish, the one time he could have been right.
Yeah, but he's never right. That's the beauty.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else to add, guys? No. Obviously had a blast down there, and we'll see what we get here in Game 5 because we don't even know who's going to play in that thing up in Milwaukee, but we know it's at least going 6, which is great. Let's take our first break, and then we'll get to a little Is This News.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Back with No Dunks, let's get to a little Is This News. Yeah, I got a couple headlines for you guys. You know where I'm going first. Canada and Serbia win openers as Olympic basketball qualifying tournaments begin. There's four of them going on across the world. You got to win them, and you get a spot in the Tokyo Olympics. So good start for Canada and Serbia. Tass, is this news?
It's solid news for the Canadian team. Serbia, I wasn't watching that thing. I was taking in Canada versus Greece to see this, you know, this warm-up game for Canada. It'd be good for them to get a W. They didn't necessarily need one, but... they looked a little sloppy in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, they're allowing Silky Sloukas to get his three-point shot off. Always nice to see a Greek lefty out there shooting quick shots. And Yorgos Papayannis, if you remember him, he was a Sacramento Kings draft pick, yeah. Lottery pick. He wasn't even 19 when he was drafted in 2016, and he didn't survive that long in the league. Now he's playing in Greece. Looks like a totally different guy at 23. I'd barely recognize him. He looked slim in there, doing things inside. So they had the lead. It was up to 8. But in the third quarter, the talent just shone through for the Canadian team. Andrew Wiggins, he looks all grown up. He just looked like he could get to the rim when he wanted. He took some assertiveness upon himself in that third quarter. He scored 23. Rowan Barrett. Barrett, that's dad. That's RJ Barrett's dad. Ah, I love doing that. The old Phil Pressey move. I love doing that. The Darius Garland, the Winston. Anyways, RJ Barrett, even though he's not the most athletic guy, he was doing that. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who I think is going to be a big Pelicans player next season. He had 18. He's been practicing, a little step back. You know, the Canadian team just took control of this game along with Lou Dort's defense in that second half. They have too much talent. Nick Nurse definitely respects, you know, the Greek team, the international teams, him having coached in Europe. So he knows that nothing is going to be a cakewalk, but this should be the Canadian team's tournament for them to qualify, you know, with those guys that I mentioned and not having SGA or Jamal Murray. They still have far more talent in this tournament that's going on in Canada. Not much of a home court advantage. I was surprised by that. There's not much of a feel, but they shot through. It's so different watching this international competition. The court is tiny. It's so tiny out there. There's not a lot of room in an NBA game to wiggle through guys to get to the hoop. There's even less in the international game. But this is going to be a good tournament. Watching it till the end of the weekend here, Rick Pitino, who is the Greek national team coach, said, "We're all disappointed in losing, but we're hoping we can see Canada again." Canada getting that respect. They are the favorites in this tournament. You don't hear that very often, but you know, I grew up watching the Greek team mostly in national team competitions and not so much the Canadian team, but it's really swung the opposite way. Now the Canadian team has jumped into the spotlight, even though, you know, they haven't had a lot of international success. This is their time to jump into it. So it would be a terrible disappointment if they don't win this tournament. And it was good to see that second half where they came through, because they were a little lax the first half. But they've got a couple more games round robin, and then they get into the elimination part this weekend, which is what really matters.
Like you said, this thing's over on Sunday. That's how quickly this little mini tournament is lasting. They got one game against China today. That's the last game of the round robin tournament, and then you're right into the knockout stage. So you're right. It wasn't technically a must win, but it sort of is. Otherwise, like, you're leaving it up to like a score aggregate of another game that you wouldn't even be involved in, even if you won your second game. So that's a big win. Like you said, turning it on in the second half was huge. Wiggins, Barrett, Alexander Walker, like, kept them in it in the first half. Like, he was attacking some of those bigger guys that got switched on him. So he was great. good start. Did you watch any Lely of this, or did you watch the highlights at all or anything like that?
No. I'm not tuning in for qualifiers for the Olympics for these games at the moment. I'll wait till we get to the big stuff. But I did see the report this morning that Nick Kalathis was playing for Greece, yeah. And they called him former Florida guard Nick Kalathis. Come on, man. He had a couple of years with the Grizzlies. Surely that's where you to him as a former Grizzlies guard and former Memphis Grizzlies star who looks like Zinedine Zidane, Nick Kalathis. So that's the good thing about the international competition, though. Like you guys said yesterday, like Ilyasova, I mean, I know he was in the NBA this season, but there's guys who, you know, had a cup of coffee or stuck around for a couple of seasons, maybe 10 years ago, though, in the NBA, still representing their national team, yeah. Which is great to see. So, yeah, but no, I'm waiting for the big tournament, the friendlies between Australia and the USA. I think we've got two of them coming up in the next couple of or the next week or so. So that's the real stuff. That's what people really want to talk about.
The ones that don't matter. Yes. I mean these games that we're bringing up here barely matter. But exactly. you're in for the exhibition friendly games.
Well, listen, you're only as good as your last game against America, and I think we won our last game. So I wonder if America go in as underdogs in that one. You know, they've got home court advantage this time. I wonder if it'll be like the MCG, 55,000 screaming fans.
I'm sure Australia can beat USA in every single game that doesn't actually matter. There's no doubt in my mind. But when the lights are on, you got to actually win a gold medal. So good luck to all of your countries making the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Australia's there. Where are they playing that game, the friendlies, Lee? Just out of curiosity.
In Vegas, I think, at the O2 Arena or whatever it is out there, yeah. I think. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck to them in that friendly. Good start for Canada. Good start for Serbia there winning as well. Because they're going on right now, these tournaments in Canada, Serbia. Lithuania won. They're also hosting their tournament. And Croatia is the other one. So we're determining the last four spots there of a 12-team field for the Tokyo Olympics. So those four spots determined on Sunday. Again, it's over in a hurry. Our next one here, The Athletic, I go to with the news. Carmelo Anthony wins the first Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award, which is awesome. I think this is news. I like this for a couple of reasons. One, I like that this new award, what it represents, of course, which is recognizing a current player for pursuing social justice and upholding the league's decades-long values of equality, respect, and inclusion. So that's good. I also like that they represent, or they come up with 30 nominees, like one per team. I think it's a cool idea, and then it sort of gets whittled down to the five finalists, which were Melo, Tobias Harris, Jrue Holiday, Harrison Barnes, and JTA there for the Warriors. I like that Melo won it, because this guy's got a very long history of social justice efforts. And then I also like that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has an award named after him. So check, and congrats to Melo there. I think he's giving a $100,000 donation to in the Portland community there to Portland's Art Museum's Black Arts and Experience Initiative. So congrats to him. TK, I assume you applaud this award and the idea maybe behind it, and Kareem being attached to it, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you totally nailed it, Skeets. Melo has been doing social justice work for a long, long time in the NBA, but now there is finally an award named after another player who has a long history of social justice work as well. So I think it's a fitting choice for the first Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. A perfectly named award and a perfect player to get the first one.
Yeah, and go seek out the interview between Ernie Johnson, Melo, and then their Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when they're awarding it to him. I thought that was cool. Did you see that one, Tass? I don't know if you saw the clip going around or saw it live.
I did not.
No. Go check it out. It's great. It's a fun little interview between the three of those. So congrats to Melo. So that's it there. A little quick is this news, and we'll continue to keep you updated on Team Canada and all of their pursuits of going for the Tokyo Olympics. You know we're going to.
So disappointed. Yi Jian Lian's not playing for China. Come on.
Yeah, he's not?
Come on.
Interesting.
No.
No. The chair? Yeah, I had to make a chair joke. Yeah, you had to slip it in there. Yeah, I had to. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter. Yes, well, Skeetsy, you know, you sort of talked about your pick you took there of Alex Len, which was a great throwback, but there's one better jersey, and it actually came from our own colleague here, Trey Kirby, who spotted a Rasheed Wallace Atlanta Hawks jersey. He played one game for the Atlanta Hawks. They had a 20 spot in that game. But, I mean, how many Rasheed Wallace Atlanta Hawks jerseys are there, you think, in the world? There can't be more than 15 or 20.
I think there's more than Alex Len jerseys.
Yeah, it became a thing.
Yes, I do.
Oh, man. It became a novelty thing, right? I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Just because he only played the one game. Yeah, look at that.
It's a great jersey, though, yeah.
Are you zoomed in there, Trey, or just like you're just very far away, I assume?
Well, I was far away. I was far away from this guy. But I couldn't let a Rasheed Wallace walking down the street go by unnoticed.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good tweet. Congrats to Trey on winning Lee's Tweet of the Night, but that's bullshit because the Tweet of the Night actually came from this morning. Darren Ravel tweeting, Robin Williams' costume in Mrs. Doubtfire when she burns herself at the stove sold for $27,000 plus yesterday at propstore_.com. So, Lee, I know we got that extension yesterday, but you're not wasting any time spending that money on a nice prop there. What are you going to do with this, Lee?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll just hang it up in the wardrobe at home and just have it there as a reminder. You know?
Oh, there you are. Graphic
art. God, seriously, though, who's paying $27,000 for that? Like, what do you do with it? What do you do? You just hang on to it and say, yeah, this is great. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's a good, like, you throw that in a case or hang it up in your house. It's a hell of a topic.
Some people have a suit of armor near their front door. Yeah. Some people have a suit of Mrs. Doubtfire. Come on, Lee. I mean, if we would have known this was going for $27,000, would everybody have chipped in $6,000 so we could top the bid and take it home for $30,000 and be the all-time owners of a one-of-one Mrs. Doubtfire burnt boobs?
That's such a weird... I was going to say, Lee, is that like, is that the prop you would want from your favorite movie of all time? Or
I think probably the face mask, you know, because that drops out the window, so he has to make another one. I think that's probably the one you want, so you can just do the hello to everybody all the time. But what a great movie.
Yeah.
Nearly 30 years old. And remember, like the director was saying, Robin Williams ad-libbed so much in that he made two other versions, apparently, like one for adults only and one, you know, I don't know, 15 plus. Apparently, he was saying, I think, that they are going to release it or put it out there in some form.
Oh, my
God. That would be incredible, man.
And imagine how much the costume is going to go for when they re-release the X-rated version of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. It's a good deal. Adults only. Maybe they knew that. They're thinking ahead. You said we could have put in like $5,000 or $6,000 each, but I think the No Dunks army out there would have each chipped in $1 or $2. Could have got that up. Could have got that GoFundMe pretty high, I think, for Lee to get that.
The funny thing is, I think you're right. I think people would love to contribute to something weird like that. Yeah.
I mean, we'd have to make a rule like, if we can raise the money to buy this, like, you have to wear it for a week or something. Or else
No worries.
No problem. Okay. Jesus. Well, we should have done it. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I didn't know it was for sale. That's it's one of those weird things, you know. I mean, people are paying $1.2 million for a basketball card these days. So, you know, for $27,000 for that, it's a steal if you ask me.
Right. Is there any other prop that from any movie, Lee, that you would be like, oh, I'd love to get my hands on that? Like, I'd give some money. I mean, you notoriously paid $5,000 for a cricket poster.
I paid $150 that it's worth $5,000.
Right. That's it. My bad.
I'm trying to think of something from Philadelphia, like Denzel Washington's, like, you know, suit.
Okay.
Something connected to
interesting
Denzel.
Interesting choice.
Very interesting choice.
Now, imagine walking around in a Denzel Washington suit. You'd be cool as Denzel.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a suit. I mean, you can just go get a suit and say it's Denzel's.
What about Shawshank Redemption? Something for, what about the little rock hammer that he has?
Okay.
That's better than Denzel Washington's suit.
Yeah.
What about one of the bad guys from Superman 2, their black suit with the big boots?
Actually, I have I got bad news, Lee. You're not going to be able to get that that rock hammer because
you got to buy it from him.
Yeah, maybe you can get it from him. He might give you a deal because he knows you. Shout out to Matty O. That's a screen grab from a happy hour where he was doing a hammer bit. Said he was hammered, I believe, was the joke. Anyway, let's hear from all of y'all in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. What movie prop would you pay good money for? Is there a Fast and the Furious piece of clothing, tray, or item that you would want to get your hands on as we get excited for our Fast and Furious and Us binge watch.
Vin Diesel's GTO, dog. Are you kidding me? Street racing everybody around Atlanta with that Hemi.
Weren't you on location for one of the Fast and Furious at the finals one
year? Yes, indeed I was. I believe it was Fast 6. They filmed a whole bunch of it in Cleveland, I think, like a huge car crash scene. Spoiler alert, Skeets. There are some car crashes in the Fast and Furious-averse.
Nobody dies.
But I don't know. Another great one would be like Vin Diesel's like his cross necklace that he's always wearing.
That's a good one.
Or one of his tank tops. I'm sure, you know, it would be much too big on me considering how muscular Vin is. But I would love to have anything that he's touched.
Okay. Well, maybe we might have to add that to our to our podcast. Like, what's one item you would really like to own from this from this particular Fast and Furious movie? Okay, let's hear from you guys, though. That's a fun question.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
What to watch for in tonight's Game 6? We have a game again here tonight. They just keep coming. Suns, Clippers. Kawhi officially out. Zubat's questionable. So you assume, Lee, that the Clips stick with what worked in Game 5? I mean, Terrence Mann out there, Marcus Morris out there. I would think. I don't know why he would switch it up. Though he's been very weird at times, Ty Lue has, with Terrence Mann and his starts and his minutes. But what are you watching for in tonight's Game 6, where the Suns can still go to the NBA Finals with one win?
Yeah, I mean, how do the Suns sort of come out knowing that, again, even though Game 7 would be at home, they do not want to have to win that game. They'd rather close the series out tonight. So do they come out and have the aggression early on, get DeAndre Ayton involved a little bit more, especially if the Clippers do go to that small ball lineup, because Ayton's been great. He can get inside to the paint. He's got that little pick and roll game. He's got a little jump hook, so he can dominate. Do they try to do that? Chris Paul, you know, he didn't shoot all that well in Game 5 there. Maybe he needs to get something going as well here. But, the Suns desperately want to end this series tonight, I think, because worst-case scenario for them is having to win, you know, as I say, even though it's at home, a Game 7, because Chris Paul's been in this situation before and not been able to close it out. I don't think he wants to take any chances, but I think it's going to be a tight one. I think it's going to be really tight, because I'm not sure that the Suns have been able to really slow down Paul George, and he's got it going right now. So the Clippers are going to be feeling good. Again, they're down in the series, but this series hasn't, you know, the games they've lost, almost all of them they could have won if they executed a little bit better in that fourth quarter. So, it's 3-2 Suns, but it feels a lot tighter than that, really. So I hope we just get another good one, and good luck to both teams. Hope both teams play hard, my man.
Yeah. Tass, anything specific that you'll have your eye on here tonight?
Well, Chrissy Paul getting his own shot from the get-go. It's not something Chris Paul likes to do, and that's why the Clippers are absolutely giving it to him. They're letting him get into the mid-range and shoot all he wants. But I think if it's there, Chris Paul has to take it just to kind of give his team an identity, to know what they're going after at the beginning of games. You know, not to get lost in this zone or whatever the Clippers are playing like they did in game five. So get after it. He only took three shots in first quarter of game five, two shots in the first quarter of game four. So I think it's just more of an identity thing. The Suns kind of looked lost to begin that game. Again, it kind of felt like the way the Bucks looked in game four against the Hawks. So I expect them to know their game plan, and I expect Chris Paul to shoot some shots and then get DeAndre Ayton involved as well. If DeAndre Ayton is the biggest player on the floor, like he was when the clip went small in the previous game, get your shots up, Chris Paul, and get that big man touches. I mean, he's going to get fouled. He's going to score. He's going to get offensive rebounds. He's too good not to be touching the ball a ton. So a new Suns team in game five, I expect. Or game six, I should say.
Yeah. I know. I hate how one series is ahead of the other one. It starts to mess with you in terms of the numbers there. Okay, so you want to see Chris Paul looking like Kyle Lowry game six of the 19 finals, just coming out there, looking for a shot and looking aggressive, and maybe he will. Anything else, Trey, that you're watching for tonight?
No, it's all on Chris Paul to me. He's been brutal since coming back for the Suns. He's really slowed him down. He's shooting 19 for 60 from the field, and the offensive rating has been pretty bad since Chris Paul has been back. It's also kind of happened with campaign going down at the same time as Chris Paul came back. So it's been a lot for the Suns to figure out how to reintegrate Chris Paul, who likes to play slow, likes to kind of wind his way around the courts to get to his spot rather than just going straight into the pick and roll and hooking up DeAndre Ayton for an easy bucket. I'd like to see him get Ayton involved early, and then maybe the jumper starts falling. He can actually hit some jumpers, but I don't know. I kind of feel like the Suns are going to take this one. So I think give me Phoenix tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hope for a close game. We'll be back tomorrow to break it down. We'll keep this one a little shorter than we've been going here over the last couple of weeks. That's fine, because we got a second podcast coming your way this afternoon. Like I said, around 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll fire up Beach Steppin' Podcast. You can join us live on YouTube if you want, and we'll turn it around and get it up in podcast form as soon as possible after that. So join us then, 2 p.m. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. And I believe that's it. We'll see you guys later today when we hit the beach to answer some fun NBA and non-NBA questions. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, there is no number one seed in the conference finals for the first time since, you guys remember? You guys have seen this little stat going around the tweets?
1994.
Correct!
Oh, really?
There you go. Knicks and Rockets in the finals that year.
Wow.
The number one seeded Hawks eliminated by the Pacers, and we all know what happened in the Western Conference.
Dikembe!
Beat the Sonics.
Embrace the day, people.